Accidentally offensive. What happens when your heart's in the right place, but sometimes your words don't actually back up what you're trying to say? It happens a lot in the disability community. We're going to tell you how not to make those mistakes on Driven by Purpose.
This is Driven by Purpose, a show about finding your purpose, building fulfilling careers, and helping people with disabilities live better lives. Hosted by three men who've lived it and are here to help you do the same. Special thanks to our presenting sponsor, Clean Logic, a leading bath and skincare company and a true pioneer in creating inclusive workplaces and increasing employment opportunities for people with disabilities.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Driven by Purpose. My name is Evan Rosenblum, along with the co-founder of Clean Logic and the Inspiration Foundation, Isaac Shapiro. Our third member, Mike Gesser, is away on assignment, but don't worry, he'll be here soon. We'll hold down the fort. What's going on, Isaac?
Good to see you, Evan. We miss you, Mikey.
Yeah, man. All right, today's episode is called Accidentally Offensive, and we're drawing inspiration for this episode out of stuff that happens in real life. And if you are part of the disability community, I guarantee you that you've experienced somebody who is accidentally offensive. And what we mean by that is people who don't intend to offend you, but it happens because they don't really have the tools to talk to you in a way that, sometimes they say stuff that offends you, right? And I'll tell you the story that's inspiring this episode. My daughter, Sydney, who's 10 years old, has severe cerebral palsy. She's nonverbal, non-ambulatory. She uses an electronic device, a device to communicate. And people, despite the fact that she is very, she's alert and she's smart and she's funny and she has a really big personality and she has a lot to say, the fact that she presents as a person who is severely disabled, sometimes people will assume that she is more disabled than she actually is, that she can't talk, that she doesn't understand all this stuff, but she understands a lot. And somebody came up to us the other day and was talking right past her about her to me. Like, they were talking like she couldn't understand any of the words that this person was saying. So like, oh, can she talk? Can she understand? And Sydney's right there. She's like, see, yes. Cause she says see for yes. See. She knows exactly what's
she's
going
bilingual.
On.
Bilingual. I love it.
Yeah. She's bilingual. She says see for yes. And she using her computer to basically answer the questions that this person is asking me about her as she's right there. And so this person is asking all these questions because they're curious about Sydney because they want to engage with Sydney, but they are accidentally offending Sydney by not asking Sydney. They're asking me. So she's like kind of upset and frustrated because she's like, hey, I'm right here. I exist. Talk to me. And this person is asking me these questions, like very basic questions. And she was upset. Now, me, as the dad, I am trying to handle this the best way possible and saying like, hey, you can ask her. She's right here. She understands. And then you try to explain the situation. And then this person is trying their best to process the situation in real time. Like, oh, okay. But sometimes it's really hard for people, right? Because they're like, well, what? But she looks so special. I don't understand how to talk to somebody like this because maybe I've never... I've never had a conversation with somebody in a wheelchair with a talking device before. So I don't know. I'm uncomfortable now. So it's a lot of, it's a complicated situation, right? But you have to remember that this person's heart is in the right place, right? So you can't get upset and you have to remind Sydney that this person's heart is in the right place. They want to have a conversation. They want to be respectful. It's all good. They just don't know how. So even though it's frustrating for Sydney and some, at a level it can be frustrating for me too, and it's probably frustrating for them also, at the core, we have to remember the spirit of this conversation is friendship and positivity, and you can't get bogged down by the fact that like some things aren't perfect, right?
Yeah. Well, I think, Evan, you said it perfectly. People just don't know, because this is the same thing that's, happened in my whole life with my mom, where, because my mom, she has to look to the right to see people. People don't think my mom's looking. So they're like, oh, start talking to me.
And right,
talk into she's blind. And it's like, she can hear, she could talk, you know, and even, you know, earlier in the episode when we talked about it when my mom was on, let's not forget that time when she walked into that office for her first interview and right in front told her that, hey, there's this blind lady here. We got to tell her the position's, you know, filled because there's no way we can hire her. And they're saying it right in front of her. So I think
she's
I'm
blind. I'm not deaf. I can hear you guys. Come on.
So I think what's also important for today is like, this is about the education, because even when I think about when we started hiring people with disabilities in our facility, I feel very comfortable with vision loss. And again, I told you guys, I used to bother me. Everybody stared at my mom and I when we'd walk. It's just because they're curious. But when we started hiring people with disabilities, I didn't know much about the different spectrum and things that could happen, you know. And so there was things that I'm like, whoa, what do I say? Or like, how do I respond to that? So I think this show is like a really good platform for us to really educate the broader audience of like, you know, hey, these are people, and think about them as the person rather than going to their, you know, person that they're with and thinking that. So I love what you're saying, because this is something I think all people with disabilities in some way are experiencing.
Yeah. So in this situation, the story that I talked about from the beginning of the show. Oh, also, I want to circle back to in the situation with your mom. That was not accidentally offensive. That was intentionally offensive. And that person that talked trash about your mom, that person's a scumbag and whatever. I'm glad your mom didn't end up working there, because she dodged a bullet on that one and ended up having a fabulous career and doing great work with people who weren't. Anyway, but back to the original story with Sydney and this person who wanted to communicate with Sydney but didn't know how and was asking me questions. So this person was like, oh, can she talk? Can she understand? And Sydney was sitting there going like, see. And as I was trying to explain to this person, yes, she understands everything. She communicates with her device. And Sydney was sitting there like she couldn't wait to engage with this person. And Sydney was sitting there. She couldn't wait to show off how her ability, right? That she understood and she could communicate. And she loves showing off her computer and that she has music on her computer and that she can communicate, because Sydney knows that it's not typical for people to use a computer to communicate. So when she is able to show off her skill set, she knows it impresses people. So she can't wait to show people how she can communicate that way. So when this person's talking to me, I use the opportunity to say like, look, this is her talking device. It's called AAC. If you ask her a question, and then I redirect it to Sydney, ask her. You can ask her favorite color. You can ask her what sports teams she likes. You can ask her a question and she'll use her computer to talk to you and she can answer.
Yeah.
And so I was like, for example, you can ask her favorite color. And this person was wearing a Dodgers hat because we're in Los Angeles. And I was like, Sydney, I offered it up so it would be quicker. I said, Sydney, what's your favorite color? Pink, purple, or blue? Is it pink? She said, no. I said, is it purple? She said, no. I said, is it blue? And she reached up and she grabbed this person's hat because he was wearing a blue Dodgers hat. She said, see, and she grabbed the Dodgers hat. And this person was completely blown away. And I was like, see, she understands everything that you're saying. And then she put together a sentence on her computer and it was like, look. And then I said, look, anything you have to say, just ask her, just give her a couple seconds, a little bit longer than you would give a typical person to answer, because she needs to put the sentence together on her computer and she'll give you an answer. She'll talk. You can have a complete conversation with her. And this person's mind was blown. And then I was able to, you know, explain a little bit more about her situation in front of Sydney, because I'm not going to, you know, Sydney understands, she knows what's going on. But as I was able to educate this person with Sydney there, they were able to have a conversation, understand each other, and now they have a better relationship. And it went from accidentally offensive to a new relationship blossomed. And this person was educated. And now the next time that they were able to see each other, they were able to have a more normal, respectful interaction, which was great. Everybody learned and it was a beautiful interaction that they had together.
I think just great advice, because again, that probably happens more times than not across what I've seen and what you're talking about. But when I think about sometimes offensive, you know, I think about name calling or some of the things that we hear in the community. And
Evan, language.
Yeah. And I remember when we were first talking about what we wanted to work together, I remember you posted something on social media and you put it out there, you know, to the president-elect at the time and being like, hey, this is offensive.
Yeah.
And I've also, you know, seen, and it's the R word, right?
Yes.
And what we've talked about. So I wanted to get there. And I would love for you to put that out there because, you know, we even talked about, I was at an event this past week and a couple of people used it and just in total, not even in that context of what we've seen before, but I even, you know, would love to have John from John Crazy Socks because they talk about it. And he just recently, you know, put a letter out to the current president about, you know, the using the R word and what it means to the community. So I would love for it to come from you because I know it's, you're very, very passionate about this.
We've been in this community for 10 years and every single day of my life for 10 years, we interact with other families that are like ours. And the families that we interact with come from all parts of the political spectrum, right? We talk to liberals, we talk to conservatives, we talk to Democrats, we talk to Republicans and every possible political party. Now, I know the R word, that there is some politicalization around that word. Intellectual disabilities doesn't choose a certain political party or another. Everybody from all walks of politics can touch somebody with an intellectual disability. And the people that I know that I've talked with, people that I interact with, nobody likes the R word, right? If you especially if you have a child with an intellectual disability, nobody likes it when other people use the R word. And if you don't believe me, you can go to the Special Olympics social media page or the social media webs or the website for the Special Olympics, and you can hear from the athletes themselves. And if you know anything about the Special Olympics, like they don't pull Special Olympics athletes from one political demographic. They're from all walks of life, from all over the country, from all over the world. But they are united together when it comes to, they're together in the sense that they don't like the word, the R word. And as a matter of fact, the Special Olympics organization has a shirt with the logo across, with the phrase across the chest that says, spread the word to end the word. And I actually bought that shirt because I support that. I think should get rid of that word. And even if it's not used toward them, if it's used to somebody else, they're offended because people are using their disability as an insult to attack somebody else. And that is also hurtful. And so even if it's not used to attack somebody with an intellectual disability specifically, using somebody's condition as an insult to attack somebody else is hurtful to them. And then as a parent of somebody with an intellectual disability, to use that word that's often used to describe a particular condition or a certain type of, a disability, and then just hearing it, you know, used to describe somebody as dumb or something like that, it's insulting and it's offensive and it's hurtful. And you just want it to stop because of the way that it affects people with intellectual disabilities and their families. And it's hurtful. It's unnecessary. You don't need to use it. And so I implore you, if you're watching this, stop using it. It hurts people. It hurts people. You've heard directly from the people that it hurts asking you to stop. There are certain comedians and politicians and other people that have decided this is a hill that they're going to die on. And I ask, why? Why? You heard from the people that it hurts them. So just listen to them. It's offensive and it's hurtful. They're asking you to stop. Just stop.
Yeah. No, good advice. And I think another one that I've heard a little bit from what we've talked about, I think would be really good for this episode as well. And I've heard it from other people with disabilities is, How do you respond to someone who praises your child, you know, for existing? Like, it's inspiring. And I've heard this, you know, even with Inspiration Foundation, some people have told me that, hey, you know, you probably should be careful using the word inspiration with people with disabilities because it doesn't make me feel good when people use that because it's in a way kind of being a roundabout feel sorry kind of side. So would love to get your perspective on here because I've just heard us talk a little bit in that standpoint.
Yeah,
that.
Well, I mean, I can give you this story. When I tell people, when they say, oh, do you have any kids? And they go, yeah, you know, I have a son who's 7, my daughter's 10. And they'll say, you know, my daughter has a severe cerebral palsy. And they'll go like, oh, I'm sorry. And I'll go, no, don't be sorry. She's awesome. She's the best.
That's a good
so
example.
So there's that where like the immediate reaction when I tell people that she has cerebral palsy is that they're like, oh, I'm so sorry. And it's like, I understand why people feel that that's the reaction they should have, like, oh, I'm sorry, because it's an affliction and it's a disability. And it's like, oh, it sucks that you have to deal with that. But like, I don't feel that way. And I feel like, I think my daughter's great. I think she's the best. And she's, you know, this is what I know. And I don't feel sorry for myself. Like, I think she's awesome. And I don't feel sorry, you know, I wish that she was typical and that she had full use of her limbs and she was verbal? Yes, of course I do. But this is what it is. This is the life that we have, and she is who she is. And I'm super grateful for her and my life and all this stuff. So I don't walk around feeling sorry and all that stuff. I know it's not exactly answering the question about like,
but I think it's the same thing. But I think what I've heard, you know, and again, a friend who's in a wheelchair told me that, hey, this inspiration thing, just be careful how you use it, because people, it's a way in a roundabout. I feel sorry that you're in this wheelchair or you can't see. So I just wanted to get your perspective and how you felt, because that was like, whoa, did I make the wrong choice? Calling it Inspiration Foundation. But I also know the meaning is my mom has inspired me, and and I'm taking action, and, you know, it wasn't nothing there that, you know, I think this show is all about creating awareness about what is the right way to talk to people with disabilities. Cause a lot of it is they don't know. And the reason people aren't hiring people with disabilities is because of fear. So there's just a lot of unknown that I think what we're trying to do is make people comfortable and talk to people with disabilities and not go through a parent or a family member to communicate. So, you know, so what else do you think, Evan, out there that, you know, as we think about it, especially, you know, from your side, I even think about, you know, you're sending your, you know, we heard from our prior guest, Dr. Kirk Adams, he went to a blind school. But I think what's interesting, and we didn't get into this, is, you know, I'm seeing a lot more parents are putting their kids with disabilities in integrated school. They're not even going to blind schools and doing that. So I think that's amazing. So do you see thing at school, maybe how the kids are interacting?
I'm a full supporter of inclusive schools. My daughter right now is at an inclusive school. So that means that she, you know, she's severely disabled, right? She has severe disabilities. She's in a chair. She's nonverbal. She requires significant assistance, but she's in classes with typical kids and gifted kids. And her friends are typical kids and gifted kids and also other kids with disabilities. And I love that. I fully support it. And look, I'm no shade to people who feel like they have kids with disabilities that need to be in specialized schools. I respect that too. But our situation right now for us, I think this is a great situation for us. My daughter loves being in school with typical kids and other kids with disabilities and gifted kids. She loves it. She loves the social component. She loves learning. She loves, and I love the fact that it kind of models the real world, right? She's interacting with people from all different walks of life. And I think it's great for the other kids too, that they are getting a real education about how to interact with people who are different from them.
I agree. And I think, you know, Mike's daughter also integrated. And I think, you know, we talked about it, you know, with Tom Gustafson, I think a little bit around, you know, we've been at a disability conference, and I remember one of the parents, you know, a sibling of someone who had someone who has severe disabilities. And she talked about, you know, I can't remember what disability, but it was pretty severe, that she said her parents, you know, it was back in the 60s and 70s where you were hiding your children. You didn't really have the resources. And it was almost like, well, why don't you just put her in a place or in the saints? You know, that's where she was talking about it. So to hear where this woman was in the 60s and 70s and to see 2026, we're integrating, you know, kids into the school with disabilities, is educating our population with people that had no exposure to people with disabilities. So
I know we are running out of time, but yeah, I want to say one thing before we leave really quickly. My daughter is in fourth grade. There is a kid in sixth grade who saw that my daughter, remember on a previous episode, we talked about my daughter's computer system, how she uses a switch system, which there are two buttons on a pad, which she uses to control her computer system. And she smashes the buttons. And so we had to create these two donuts to protect the buttons so she didn't break the buttons every time she smashed them. And it also uses the fine motor skills. It hones in the fine motor skills. So she uses her fingers to press the buttons. So it's not just smashy, smashy all the time, right?
Yeah.
So the donuts were breaking and falling off all the time. So there is a kid at her school, typical kid, who saw that Sydney's buttons, the donuts that were protecting the buttons were breaking, took it upon himself over the winter break to take measurements of the buttons, unbeknownst to me and my wife and our family.
Wow.
He has a 3D printer at his house and made 3D printed donuts to protect the buttons. And when Sydney came back to school after the break, presented her with brand new, beautiful 3D printed donuts that were way better than the donuts that my wife and I were making at home. They were beautiful.
Amazing.
And that happened at this school because she was at an inclusive school with typical kids. And this kid took interest and was like, oh, I want to help her out. This was a sixth grader.
Wow.
How old are you when you're in sixth grade? You're 12 years old? It's a 12-year-old kid that saw a 10-year-old girl with special needs that needed help and took it upon himself to say, you know what? I see that there's a problem there. I have the ability to help her, and did something about it and improved her, improved on something that we couldn't do as adults.
That's amazing.
And did it at this school. What an amazing kid. By the way, we have written to his parent. My wife and I got the contact information for this kid's parents. We wrote this giant letter. I want to submit him for like awards and stuff. Like, I want this kid celebrated on, like, I want to shout his name on Mountaintop, but I got to get permission from the parents to like put him out there in the world first. But this kid is amazing. And it's an incredible thing that this happened.
It's almost like, you're a friend who's doing the lawn mowing, like, you know, you just do something out of good place and it goes, like, so let's get him some love and get him to the next.
But just know that out there, if you're watching this right now, you're listening and you're hearing all the doom and gloom out there on the world and you see the news and you're like, that's awful. Just know that there are kids like this kid out there that are good. What an amazing kid with a great heart. So all this stuff, we're talking about the show Accidentally Offensive, but there's also kids that, this wasn't like an assignment. Nobody told this kid to do this. This was a kid who was walking around school and saw that this little girl could use some help and just did it on his own. What an amazing thing to leave you with. So I think we end on that note.
I agree. Close this down.
Let's wrap it up. This was another episode of Driven by Purpose. Shout out to that kid. And as soon as I get permission from your parents, I'm going to say your name and put your picture up here and celebrate you the way you deserve to be celebrated. This is going to do it for us here, Driven by Purpose. Please tell a friend, tell a friend, tell a friend. So like, subscribe, spread the word, and we will see you next time with Mike when he comes back from assignment. Peace.